I'm Brad Pitt, and I'd like to welcome you to the BenHeck.com podcast.
Yeah, I want my scalps.
Everyone that listens to this podcast owes me 100 Nazi scalps, and I've got a scar in my neck which is not explained.
Oh, and did I say that I want my scalps?
I want my scalps! I got that guy from The Office. He's like one of my guys, and he can get scalps.
Even though he really doesn't do anything for
the whole
movie. I've
also got the director of Hostel as one of my guys. He can get scalps, and he's got a baseball bat. I fuck Angelina Jolie, and yeah, I'm looking kind of old, actually. But that Benjamin Button movie was, I guess it was okay. But there weren't enough Nazis in it. Oh, wait, I guess there were some.
One or two, anyway.
There was a submarine, and it was filled with Nazis. Yeah, we went and saw Inglourious Basterds last night with Dale, so.
Yes.
And then Mike Poplin was there, this other guy we know.
Yeah, that was funny.
He comes strutting in. I screamed across the other gym, "Hey, asshole!"
And of course he looked.
He's like, "I'm an asshole? Oh, it's those guys!"
Honestly, I'd probably do the same thing if somebody yelled that. I would be like, "Oh, what do you know? They're right."
Yeah, I wonder why he was at that theater. I mean, he lives like...
Yeah, he lives like way over... Like, Point would have been closer for him, but... Unless his girlfriend lives over by that one, but...
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So... Yeah, okay, so this is the BenHeck.com podcast.
Oh, and the movie was... pretty good, I guess I would say. Pitt was pretty lame in it, as far as I'm concerned. He was, like, way over the top and... cheesy and almost mugging for the camera, and it just got old, but pretty much everything else in the movie kicked ass, and it's pretty obvious that Tarantino wishes he was Sergio Leone, but I guess that's not a completely terrible thing, so. Like, that first scene in the movie is basically the first scene from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, except set in Nazi-occupied France, so...
Although I think 3 minutes of a Tarantino movie contains more dialogue than all Sergio's movies put together.
Yes, and that's the key difference.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I guess I knew going in that the Bastards, or however they are supposed to pronounce it, weren't in it that much, so I wasn't disappointed by that. I mean, I heard that it was...
I was happy about that, actually, because they were, like, the least interesting part of the movie, I thought. But
yeah, that's true. Should have been called, A Bunch of Nazis Go to a Movie Theater, the movie.
Yeah. Or it could have been Jew Hunter.
Yeah, because that guy was basically the star of the movie.
Yeah, because he showed up, like, in all the different plot lines, so.
Apparently, he's going to be in that Green Hornet movie, or I can't even keep... Hollywood's making a Green Hornet movie and a Green Lantern movie. It's like,
are they going to make a Green Eggs and Ham movie too?
Oh, probably. That Horton Hears a Who is pretty successful.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, Jones was trying to find a Zune HD so we could discuss it on the podcast, but they're like all sold out.
Yeah, like the 32 gigs anyway. It seems like that's the super popular one, because there were, like, Walmart and Best Buy both had 16 gigs, but I want to get the 32, so.
How much is that, like, 220, the cheap one?
The cheap one, yeah, it's 220, and then the 32 gigs, 290. Yeah, it looks pretty slick from, they have a demo one at Best Buy, and I got to play around with it a couple of times, and it's pretty slick, and it's been getting, like, really good reviews, so. We'll see. I'm sure one will turn up eventually. It was a little bit reminiscent of our Wii hunt of '06 when we went around to all the different stores and no place had one. But that's a good thing, I guess, because it means people were looking forward to this and are snapping it up, so.
Yeah.
Maybe Microsoft's on to something with this one, I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like whenever any company releases something like that, or like, when the solid-state Zunes came out, like, nobody wanted the 4-gig one, just kind of sat on the shelf. So why even make it in the first place?
Yeah, I don't know.
You'd think they'd learn. Or, like, wasn't there a 4-gig iPhone at the very beginning, like, nobody wanted it?
Yeah, I think there was.
It was kind of like, just like a Trojan horse to have a cheap model, although I can't imagine 4 gigs of flash memory really adds that much to the price.
I wouldn't think so. it's, I don't know. Kind of interesting.
Anyway, so I guess instead we're going to talk about, well, I guess the Beatles Rock Band came out, so we'll discuss that. Wisconsin has a downloadable content tax coming next month.
Lame.
We're going to talk about that and why it's not a good thing. One word, piracy. And also, finally, we're going to talk about how, obviously, the holiday season is coming up, even though it's still really nice and sunny out. And a bunch of games are coming out, even though most of them got moved to quarter one 2010. But anyway, we're going to discuss the games that we're really looking forward to coming out this fall, this Christmas, and this spring. So, yes. So why don't we start with games we've been playing. Go, why don't you start, Jones? I guess you always
Very
do.
Very well. Yeah, I guess like Arkham Asylum even came out since we last did one of these, right?
Yeah, it's been
a while.
Yeah, we're not as good as we used to be.
Yeah, but yeah, let's see. I picked up that Arkham Asylum game and played through it, and it's pretty cool. It's the best thing you can say about that game is you actually feel like Batman when you're playing it. Like they really did a good job of you know, with the control schemes and like the things you can do, like as far as grappling, and you can swoop down from stuff and tie guys up and hang them from like gargoyles and shit, and it's pretty cool. And you get to run across a bunch of different villains, and it's a fun time. And then like they have, you know, kind of in all those sorts of games, they have the thing where you have to go around and find like these little diaries or, you know, whatever lingering around throughout the building, and they did a good job with that in this particular game, where it kind of in a way furthers the story, and it's interesting enough that you want to keep like learning more, so you keep trying to hunt them down, like the Ghost of Arkham or whatever. Yeah. There were like 20 of those to find, and that stuff was pretty neat.
And then he's like, if you know what my identity is, come find me or whatever, and
yeah,
then you can get the achievement for that. Well, I played through it too because Jones borrowed it to me. Yeah, I liked how, you know, it used kind of the same backstory telling mechanism that Bioshock did, but the thing that I noticed that was cool about Arkham Asylum is the story on the audio tapes is revealed in the order that you find the tapes.
That's what I liked a lot, too.
So you didn't have to find the tapes in the right order, you just had to find the tapes. So, like, if there's, like, five interview tapes for Poison Ivy, it doesn't really matter in what order you find them. The first one you find has the first part of the story, and the last one you find has the last part of the story. So
yeah,
it's in chronological order no matter what, as are the Arkham ghost stories or whatever the thing is on the rock.
Yeah, I noticed that too and thought that was really cool that they did that because, yeah, otherwise in these games you'll find, like, you know, audio diary one, but then you find, like, the fourth one next, and so you're, like, missing those in-between pieces. But in this
yeah,
one,
that happens in Fallout 3.
They did it really well.
Kind of lame.
So that was cool, and then, like, this past week I got that Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 game came out, which was unfortunately not developed by Raven, like the first one, but it was done by Vicarious Visions, and it's pretty cool. I liked some of the tweaks they made to the game, and the storyline's really neat. I'm not into comics, but I guess there were, like, these Civil War, the series of, like, Civil War comics that came out were basically the mutants. There's, like, some sort of registration act that happens, and they take sides, either pro or anti-registration act, and so then they fight each other, and that's basically what this game has for its storyline, and it was pretty neat, and I just beat it this morning, and it was it's a fun game. They introduced some new characters that haven't been in any of the older, like, X-Men Legends or Marvel Ultimate Alliance games, and yeah, it was a good time. I always like those. It's just a fun, like, button-masher type game with a little bit of character customization and things like that, which is always a good time. And then they did a good job also with it where it has, like, good replay value, because basically you want to play through it twice, because one time, like, the first time you're playing through, you get to the point where you have to make a choice, and you choose to either side with, like, Captain America and go anti-Registration Act, or else you side with Iron Man and go with the pro-Registration Act people. And it affects the storyline, actually, and, like, who you fight and who joins your side. And so, like, the first time I went through, I went the anti-route, and so now I'll go through the pro-route, and it's kind of cool because there's still some characters I haven't unlocked because you have to go the pro route to be able to actually unlock them. So I thought that was kind of a neat way to handle it.
Yeah, it's good when games purposely make you want to play through them twice.
Yeah, instead of just, you know, play through it again on a harder difficulty or whatever.
Right, or like Infamous, where they have, you know, kind of the good and the bad way to go.
And that actually affects the story as well in that one, so.
Well, I guess, yeah, when was the last time we did a podcast? Like a month ago? I guess stuff has happened. I finished that Atari 800 laptop.
Ah, yes.
Of course, we usually never talk about that kind of stuff on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've made it any secret, but I'm working on a PlayStation 3 Slim thing, so.
Yes.
Should have that done in a couple weeks. And I finally got, the guy who commissioned the Atari 800 laptop found me an Atari 1050 disk drive at a thrift store, so he sent it to me, and it worked great, so now I can, like, look at all my old discs.
Nice.
The end. Yeah, I look back at all my old discs, and I realize I did a lot of programming, but I never really finished much very often, so that's very disappointing. Yeah.
Kind of like an author or something, where they have like all these unfinished manuscripts laying around, and every now and then they polish one off.
Yeah, I was going through it, and I'm like, oh, I can make these into disc images and put them on my site, but there's not a whole heck of a lot that is actually finished and like playable, I would call. So I looking back now, I'm like, oh man, I was a jerk. I don't know, I was disappointed. It's kind of interesting to like, oh wow, I programmed this when I was 11. That's interesting, but it's disheartening to like see how much stuff I didn't finish, because nowadays I try to finish everything I start.
Yes.
It might take me years. But oh, and I downloaded the Mothership Zeta, or however, Catherine Zeta-Jones thing for Fallout the other day and played through that.
How long did that take to get through?
Probably about 3 hours.
Okay.
It was...
It's a little better than the Anchorage
better
one.
Than Operation Anchorage, but not as good as the rest of them. But you're in an alien spaceship, and you get to fight aliens, so that was worth it for me.
Wasn't that one kind of like the Anchorage thing, where it's like more linear? Or not really?
Yeah, but the Anchorage thing was like a simulation, so you can't even pick up things or collect things in that.
Okay.
You basically just... It's a simulation, so it's very, very linear. This is, like, at least part of the world.
Okay.
So you can go around the spaceship, like, collecting all the alien crap and...
All right.
I think I have, like, 39 alien disintegrator guns or something, so I can sell them in the wasteland. So, yeah, it was... Actually, the kicker was... I think in October they're releasing a premium Fallout 3 theme for Xbox, and
oh, really?
If you've bought all the DLC, you get it for free.
And oh,
like,
really?
Oh, I only have one more to buy, so I'm like, what the hell?
Well, that's pretty cool, they're, you know, doing that, giving some sort of little kickback.
Yes, Fallout, the $110 game.
Hey, it'll only be $60 for me.
That's right. Well, oh, I guess that would kind of lead into our next topic, although I guess games I've been playing, I borrowed Arkham Asylum from Jones, and it is very good. I think it's more Batman than even the new movies. It's kind of like the old Keaton Batman, or it's very similar to the old cartoon show, which was quite good.
Yeah, and it was actually written by the guy who came up with the animated series.
And it has, the same voices.
Yeah, they got, Kevin Conroy or something
He's
that.
Batman.
He's Batman. And then Mark Hamill is the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And
Harley Quinn is the same woman.
Yeah.
So that
made a difference, too. It had, you know, really good voice acting in it, which, to be honest, most games anymore do a pretty damn good job with voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice to see, because that used to be a bit of a downfall for them. But
yeah, but this one, not only did they get good actors, but it has a connection to, like, the... I don't want to say canon, but...
Yeah, but...
And that's cool, because, you know, Mark Hamill does a really good job as the Joker, and...
I love how he's, like, always present, too. You know, like, you're going into these different rooms, and there'll be, like, goons in there, and then he'll be... You know, you'll go and take out one of the goons. And
he's always on the PA.
Yeah, and he'll be talking to the guys. He's like, uh-oh, I think someone's missing or whatever, you know.
He's like, he's above him, you fools. But, the game just, you just feel like you're Batman.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you go up on the gargoyles and you can hang upside down, like, you push a button to, like, invert a takedown to, like, grab a guy when you're hanging upside down, and then it cuts to the guy and you see him, like, whoa!
And then the thing, too, is, like, when he's hanging there and the other guys come over to, like, check it out, you can flick your batarang at the rope and it'll cut it and drop the guy on the other guy's
underneath.
Oh,
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
I know you can spray explosive gel on someone and then people come and investigate, you can blow them up.
I like that, too, that, like, you know, there'll be, like, six guys in a room and then you'll keep picking them off one by one. And then eventually, you know, there's, like, one or two left and the guys are, like, scared and, like, you know, their heart rate's up and stuff and they'll be, like, kind of frantically going around, and sometimes they'll actually just, like, you know, they'll hear something and they'll, like, shoot their gun, like, at nothing. Like, that happened a few times.
Oh, I never saw that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, because the guy'd be like, and he'd be like, oh, god dang it. He's like, I thought I heard something, and he was, like, freaking out. And
I tended to find those sequences, like, those are probably the most difficult for me.
Yeah, they were tough, like, if they all were armed and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Like, that one at the end, like, you're in that... Like it's almost like a cave, but it's like a very old corridor, and you're trying to get through. And there's like eight of those guys.
Yeah,
and there's not that one was fairly difficult. I mean, I finally got through it, but it's fun. There's like a thing called detective mode where you push a button and you kind of see the world in this analytical view. It's kind of like this blue shade, and that kind of points out things you can grapple to and points out. You crawl through a lot of vents in this game.
Yeah.
But it shows you which guards are armed, which guards aren't. If the guards aren't armed, you can pretty much go down there and kick their ass every time. But if they are armed, it's a lot more difficult. But you can sneak up on them and take them down silently. And you have like a POV batarang, kind of like in Batman Returns. And you have like in the first Batman movie, and he comes down through the skylight, and Vicky Vale is with the Joker in that museum, and he's got that thing that shoots a line across and lets you swing down. That's in the game, and the grappling hook, and you're Batman.
Yeah, they did a really good job on it. So.
And then, you were the one that took issue with this. I think it was last week before we played Beatles. I'm like, Dale, bring over your Danny Elfman Batman soundtrack.
Well, I didn't take issue with it. I just thought it was ridiculous.
So he brought it over, so I ripped it to the hard drive. So when I was doing, you know, going through the game and solving the Riddler challenges, I could just have the original Batman music playing the entire time. It was awesome. That's the only thing missing from that game. If it had that, it would just... It's still, I mean, it's very good. It's basically BioShock meets...
Metal Gear meets,
like, a beat-em-up.
Yeah, I can't remember what the other one was, but yeah, I know it was like BioShock, Metal Gear, and then some other game that I was. Oh, Assassin's Creed. I was like, you throw all three of those like in a blender, and along with like the Batman license, and this is what comes out. So
yeah, I was telling Dave last week. I'm like, Dave, Arkham Asylum, and he's like, yeah. I'm like, get it.
Yeah,
you'll love it.
Yeah, he should just
he'd
get
love
it. Yeah, because he loves like shit like Metal Gear and all
God
that,
of War and fighting games, and
yeah,
this is like got it all. Well, it's already sold like 2 million copies. I'm not surprised. It's very good.
That's cool that it's sold that well.
Yeah. All right, well, should we talk about Beatles, or what do you think?
We might as well, since we could break it up a little, I guess. And yeah, let's do the DLC shit thing.
Well, the big problem I see with the DLC tax is, one, more states will start doing it, probably because every state is pretty much bankrupt, except for Texas. But the big problem with it that I have is it punishes people who download things legally.
Yep. Which a lot of these sorts of laws, that's pretty much what ends up happening.
Yeah.
Is it's like you penalize the people that are doing things the right way, which
Well, it's like, you know,
stupid.
If blank is outlawed, only criminals will have blank or whatever they say. And it's true. So, I mean, I was going to look it up here, but... I mean, I download a fair amount of stuff on the Xbox and, you know, songs.
Yeah.
And so now I'll pay, I would assume it would be 5.5% tax on it.
Yeah.
And it's not a lot, but I wasn't paying it before.
Hmm.
And what is Jim Doyle going to give me for it? Nothing.
Yeah, it's like we weren't paying for it before, and everything was doing just fine before without this. People still go into stores and buy things locally and pay their tax on that. I mean, why the hell... You know, the state of Wisconsin has, like, nothing to do with this. Where do they get off taxing this?
Right.
Is the way I look at it. You know, it's... When I go into a store in Wisconsin and buy something, then, okay, fine, I can live with that.
Right.
But this stuff, no.
Now, someone might say, well, you pay sales tax on the game itself.
It's like, well, that's true, but I walked into a brick and mortar store and bought it, you know, and
maybe it's a maybe it's protectionism for brick and mortar, or although no, I think it's just a cash grab.
No, it's a cash grab, and they're doing it. So what is it? It's basically any like media, like video game, music, like,
yeah.
All
so
that sort
it's
of
not
stuff.
Like buying something from Tiger Direct or something like
no.
that. It's basically any sort of. So if you buy a song off iTunes or Amazon or
download a video,
it's
off
pretty much any downloadable content.
Amazon,
what geeks would call downloadable content.
Yeah.
But okay, now my plan, because I hate Jim Doyle. I think he's a fucktard. There, I said it.
He sucks.
He does.
He looks like some Guido mobster type dude.
I'm gonna look here for the last year, okay? And see, my plan. See, I think it'd be much easier for Microsoft to just change the screen where you buy the points. You know, like what do you buy? Like $12.50, $24, whatever.
Yeah,
time.
Something like that.
It'd be much easier to add the sales tax to that than to add the sales tax as a point to all the points you use.
Yeah.
So my idea is you buy a whole bunch of points before the law takes effect, and then you spend them later, so that way you don't pay the sales tax on it.
Yeah.
And then my plan is to buy enough so it'll last the length of the console. So, because seriously, it's taxation without representation. You know, we used to fight wars for that.
You should just buy like $500 worth.
That might be a little much. Okay, let's look.
Because then you'll have some for when the 720 comes out.
Well, why don't you talk about your thoughts on? Well, yeah, I'm sure it will carry over. Why don't you tell us more thoughts about this while I do this math here?
Oh God, do you really want me to? I don't know. I just think it's like we said, it's one of these things where you're going to be penalizing the people that are doing things legally. And, it'll probably, in a way, spur even more piracy than what goes on today. And I kind of, when we were talking about the subject, I was thinking about there was an episode of The Office. I can't remember which season it was in, probably 4. But it was like Pam and Jim were in with Andy, like on their lunch break, watching a movie. And they were like saying something about like, yeah, the reason we watch these movies with Andy is because we don't know how to download them. And it's like, well, if you start doing enough of this crap, maybe the, Pam and Jims of the world will ask Andy, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll start doing it for themselves. And, maybe they'll go to the movies a little less often, or they'll, buy things illegally a little less often, because maybe they'll find out, wow, holy shit, I can just go online and download this whole, like, Beatles album, which I guess the Beatles are a bad example because you can't actually download their music legally. But,
I did something wrong here. I've got to start over. I'm sorry.
But it's like, I can download this new, Kelly Clarkson album, and I don't even need to pay for it, and it's basically the same act as going out to Apple's site and downloading it legally.
Yeah, I mean, I always get the songs and whatnot. I mean, I always get them off Amazon, but I pay for them,
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say I've never done that before, because everyone has.
Oh, yeah.
But it has been a long time since I've done that, because it's like $1 for a song, and
And it's easy to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not much excuse to, like, not do it. I know that. And, my belief is, if you want more songs and if you want more games, you should pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know something like the Xbox is fairly secure, but, I mean, this is going to affect iTunes and music sales, too, so that will make a difference.
Yeah.
I'm almost done here. Okay, so that Point Lookout, which was actually a pretty good bargain. Monkey Island. All You Need Is Love. Motorship Zeta. Okay, $145 in the last year.
Oh, you did download All You Need Is Love?
It was $2, and it like, helps orphans or something.
Yeah.
$145 since last September.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, let's see. But now it would be
$152.
Yeah. Now, people would say that's not a big deal, but the thing is, it's incrementalism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's $7 that I can't spend on something else.
Yep.
That's the thing people need to realize.
That's $7 worth of, like, iTunes downloads, let's say. Mm-hmm. You could have spent that $7 to go and buy 7 new songs.
Or it's almost like a whole, like, another $10 game or something.
Yeah. But instead, nope, it just lines Jim Doyle's pockets instead.
See, the government cannot give you anything without first taking something.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah, well, the thing is, it'll affect other states, too. I don't know why Wisconsin has to be the fucking tip of the spear. I mean, seriously, it's not California, it's not New York. I mean, what is
New York was talking about it a year or two ago, but I don't know whatever
it came
of.
Vermont or Massachusetts might have it, shock of shocks.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
I don't know. What is with our state that... is our education system really that good that we like have to wring so much tax money out of people?
Well, yeah, we bleed it out of our highway budget and everything else. It's like, for Christ's sakes.
That's what I hate. You go to school for, like, what, 13, 15 years? You drive on roads your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And businesses use roads.
Yeah.
You know, some people, you know, I might lose people on Twitter for saying that, but it's
true.
It's
the truth. It's like, well, and we have these stupid programs in this state. Like, I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically the one where, oh, I don't want my kid to go to the school, you know,
oh, the
like
voucher
in,
bullshit.
Yeah, that crap. And you can say, I want my kid to, you know, go to such and such school, like 25 miles away, and they'll freaking send like a bus or whatever to pick that kid up and take him to the school.
That's what I hate. All
which
these
is
got,
bullshit, and that's all taxpayer money.
Drive their cars their parents bought them to school. Why do we even run the buses?
I don't know.
Well, I'm sure people ride them. I mean, I actually got stuck. There's some buses coming out of Verona here the other day, and they were certainly chock full. So maybe I'm just thinking about Richland Center. But yeah, so I guess my problem with that is it encourages piracy, which hurts the industry, and that's not cool.
Yeah.
Because
there's already enough of a problem with
see,
that, and
it's kind of like it's perception. Like if you see a song on iTunes go from 99 cents to $1.04.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot more.
Well, and that's why things are always priced $0.99.
Yeah,
you know,
be...
they don't make a game $60, they make it $59.99.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's that whole perception.
Hell, the guy who did the showcase thing for
mm-hmm.
my website, I got him a PS3. Granted, it took me about an extra month to buy it, but I don't have unlimited money.
So you got him a Slim then?
Yeah, but I thought about
nice.
This... The total with shipping was $309. So it was actually cheaper with shipping than with sales tax.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I was like, damn.
So did you order that like off Amazon
yeah.
or something? Because
what yeah. would that be with sales tax? So like,
it'd be $315, $316.
Yeah, it's like $6. Again, that's like a trip to McDonald's.
Yeah. Or some music downloads.
Yeah. Wow, that's... Well, I figured I... Yeah, I buy a fair amount of crap off Xbox because I probably buy more downloadable crap than actual games like Monkey Island and Point Lookout and stuff. So
yeah, I know I bought quite a bit of like Rock Band DLC in the last year or so. And then I did get those two Penny Arcade games when they had them on sale.
$200 would probably do.
And I guess I did get that one lame Fable 2 expansion. It was fine, but it was kind of like your Operation Anchorage, where it was overpriced for what it was. So.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah.
Yes, so taxes equal bad when it's crap like this.
Yeah.
I'm not a completely anti-tax person. I realize they have to exist for certain things, but for this sort of crap, it's just... You're just punishing the people that are, you know, doing things the right way already. And it's like, especially, you know, in the economy as it is today, you know, it's like things are bad enough. Do you really need to dig a little bit more out of people's pockets? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the people that still have jobs and whatnot, they're getting taxed more. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it kind of sucks. Well, it's kind of like with cigarette prices. I mean... The state tax on those went up again, thanks Jim Doyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get with that Obama thing, Obama raised the tax on cigars 155%.
Jesus.
Not a dime in new taxes though.
Oh no.
That's you know, I hate that. There's far, 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 far more people in America that smoke than are rich.
Mm-hmm.
And we're okay with taxing 1% of the population, but we actually tax 20% of the population more often. Then we tax. I mean,
yeah.
You know what I'm getting at?
Oh yeah.
Everyone's like, oh fuck the rich, tax them. But then, also the government's like, let's fuck smokers too, even though it's like 1/5 the country.
Yeah, and then like with this DLC tax, I mean, you know, it's just Wisconsin now, and maybe a couple of these other states. But I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, they're. I mean, I guess this is probably a more diplomatic tax than a lot of other things, because or, you know, democratic, yeah. I guess, because it's actually going to hit most people.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I would say.
Oh, I was going to say with the cigarette thing, they raise the tax X amount of dollars, but then actually the cigarette manufacturers raise the prices on top of that because they know when the taxes go up, less people buy it, so they have to raise the price on the people who still buy it, so they make as much money as they did before, and that happens with everything, so... Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
and those are American businesses in most cases that employ Americans.
And a lot of these games are, too. So I'm just saying, if piracy goes up when they start leveling taxes on DLC across the nation, which will happen, don't bitch and moan. Or if you're going to bitch and moan to your state governments. All right, let's move on.
.org. Which all apparently is in that Jennifer's Body movie.
I wonder if that movie made any money. Let's find out. Because...
How dare Diablo...
Oh my god, it's not... Oh, Jesus Christ.
How dare Diablo Cody steal the saying...
Wow, fifth place on Friday.
What was first?
Claudia with a Chance of Meatballs. Wow, Jennifer's Body probably won't even make $10 million this weekend. I'm shocked!
Good.
We were discussing that last night at Sbarro or wherever the fuck we were.
That's even lower than I expected, actually.
Yeah.
What was second? Oh,
The Informant.
Nice. I kind of want to see that.
Tyler Perry. Well, the thing with that movie, Jennifer's Body, it's like, okay, it's a movie with Megan Fox, but it's about high school girls, so guys don't care.
Yeah.
And it has Megan Fox, so girls
don't care.
So, well, clearly nobody cares. I should work in Hollywood. I'm like, no, this movie's a stupid idea. Don't make it. Megan Fox is the new Sharon Stone. They're just gonna. So they're like, oh wow, she's hot.
Yeah, hopefully, hopefully they don't give her like a $20 million guarantee to make Jennifer's Body 2.
I'm just saying, it's like, well, actually, Sharon Stone was better than Megan Fox because she was actually in a movie where she starred. You know, like she was the star.
And
of
she
Basic
had to
Instinct.
Carry it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she actually like you know got naked. And but God, still, Hollywood's like, wow, she's obviously a star because...
And God bless her for it.
But I'm just saying, like, then so many movies tried to continue her as a star, but they all bombed. And
Sliver.
Megan Fox
and
is basically the, Sphere, Quick and the Dead, even though it's a good movie.
What was that? The Specialist was another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically nothing she did other than, like, Total Recall, which she was a small part in, and then, like, Basic Instinct. I think those are the only ones that were successful.
Yeah, then she just made bombs for the rest of the decade until they realized, hey, wait, this is a money-losing proposition. So, yeah, maybe, maybe it'll knock Megan Fox down a bit. Like, she's no Jennifer Connelly in The Rocketeer.
No. She's no Charlize in anything.
Oh, yes, I know we talked about this yesterday at the food court, but... I bring it up. Yeah, I was playing Call of Duty the other day, and some people were texting on the screen about Megan Fox. And usually people don't carry on conversations in video games, but that one they were, and they were talking about her and blah, blah, blah. And then someone was talking about Jessica Alba, and I'm like, Jessica Alba sucks. Jessica Biel's 10 times better. And they're like, Jessica Biel sucks. And I'm like, you're on drugs. And then someone else defended me.
And didn't somebody say that she was like a man or something?
Yeah, they're like, Jessica Biel is mannish. And I'm like, I'm sure no one has ever mistaken her for a man.
No.
there's probably a bunch of like 17 and 18-year-old idiots.
Yeah. Ugh.
But...
Yeah, like I said, for anybody out there that doubts the hotness of Jessica Biel, just rent that I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry movie. She shows up in that, and she's wearing what's essentially like a Catwoman outfit at this Halloween party or whatever, and my God.
She looked pretty good in Blade 3 as well.
Yes, I haven't seen that, but I saw posters and things, but...
Well, the moral of the story is those people on Call of Duty were insane.
Yes.
So what were we talking about? Well, was it the Beatles?
We have the Beatles, I guess we could go to
okay,
next.
So the Beatles Rock Band came out, so I bought it.
And then we all played it Saturday. We just played straight through it and beat all 45 songs or whatever there are on
and
it.
And Dale was ever able to join in for a change, finally.
Yeah. Well, and the cool thing about it is that they have... You can do, like, up to 3 people on the vocals, and you do, like, the harmonies, and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool because, like, Dale was basically doing, like, lead vocals, and then Ben was playing guitar and doing vocals as well, like the backing vocals, and I played drums, and it was just really cool, and it's nice because, I mean, I'm not a huge Beatles fan, but, I mean, I knew a lot of the songs, and then ones I didn't even know, quite a few of those I enjoyed, and, like, you guys knew the majority of them. I mean, there were a few that
there
you
were a couple
across
obscure
that you didn't
songs
know.
In there.
But overall, you know, compared to, like, your typical Guitar Hero or Rock Band, though,
well,
you
I
can see...
Well, Dale, probably like, almost all the songs, and I knew probably most of them.
So it's like, you know, it's a much more accessible game, I think, to people. You know, like, if somebody's into music and stuff like that, and, you know, this game happened to be, you know, like, at some party they were at, and, you know, somebody who's normally not a gamer would probably feel compelled to jump in, you know, and belt out, you know, I don't know, whatever song.
Day Tripper.
Yeah, Day Tripper.
There were still, I mean, one my issue I had with it was there's plenty of obvious songs that were missing. It's like, I know, well, we've said this before, it seems like Harmonix tries to educate people on music, but, you know, instead of having, like, some Beatles songs I've never heard of before, where's, like, The Night Before, or Hey Jude was an obvious omission, and...
Like,
I'm sure
Let It Be wasn't
Let It
on
Be,
there.
Yeah. I'm sure they're just saving that for later.
Oh, sure.
Well, like, that Michelle, that's a good song. It's like, Michelle, my Belle, and then there's some French dialogue in there, but it's cool. Well, I did like how they had Something. That was actually, I think, written by Ringo Starr.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorite Beatles songs.
But, like, Eleanor Rigby wasn't on there either, and that's a pretty cool song.
Yeah.
But they had a lot of good stuff. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the thing with the Beatles is they have so many recognizable songs that, I mean, you're obviously going to omit some, no matter what, I think. And but I think overall they did a good job, because they had, like, that Dear Prudence song, and...
Yellow Submarine was fun.
Yeah.
Because the harmonies, like, answer each other.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're in a yellow submarine. That was fun.
Yeah, and, like, even though I wasn't singing or whatever, but, like, playing the drums, it was just, like, more fun, like, having two people singing. I thought that was, like, really cool. It definitely added something to the game.
The
so.
Harmony, it's kind of hard to do because you have to do it a slightly different... note, actually, and usually when you listen to the music, you're just, you know, you concentrate on the main vocal.
Yeah.
But it's fun trying to do it.
Yeah.
You know, trying to do the harmonies.
Yeah, I could see that game, you know, like if you're just having some sort of get-together at your place, you know, and, you know, just had all kinds of random people showing up and popping that on. I mean, I could see people just wanting to jump in and, you know, belt out A Hard Day's Night and stuff like that. And
what about Guitar Hero 5? You can hook up like 10 microphones or something.
Yeah, but it's not the same because you're all singing like the same vocal track. But I do like the fact that they added this to the Beatles because I know we've talked about this on the podcast, you know, like when people have talked about keyboard peripherals and shit like that. And we talked about how like the next logical step for these games was to add like backing vocals and things.
And duets.
Yeah, and they actually... did that with this game, so hopefully...
But doesn't your favorite game ever, Lips, have that?
It does. My favorite game ever that I've never played, apparently.
Wait a minute. So. We could go to VGCharts.com and see how many copies Lips sold.
You could. But, so hopefully when Rock Band 3 comes out, maybe...
Accessing data!
Maybe that's something they will add to it, because... There are songs, like, on Rock Band that are kind of annoying that way, where they have you sing both the lead and the backing vocals, and you have to, like, totally switch your pitch and everything, and it's just not accurate. It's kind of lame. Like, Gimme Shelter was a good example of that, because you have to go from singing as, like, Mick Jagger to some woman. And it's just...
Rape! Murder! Although, I'll never forget the first time we did that song, I think Dale was singing.
Yeah, and he just, like, went, RAPE! Murder! He just, like, freaking growled it out. It was so funny.
Well, when I was talking to that guy from Harmonix, I was like, you guys realize how many of your songs involve rape, guns, Jesus, and murder? And he's like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, Jesus is a big one.
Well, I think it's just music in general. And
yeah.
He talks about those things a lot.
It was just kind of funny.
Yeah, Jesus. It's like, oh, Jesus popped up again. Says she's close to understanding Jesus. I don't think they have any Counting Crows in there. I don't know. I don't really keep up with the DLC.
I don't think so.
Isn't there like 800 songs on Rock Band now or something?
There must be, because they just shit them out. Well, like, tomorrow, actually, like, apparently Pearl Jam's got a new album coming out, and tomorrow, like, the whole new album is coming out. And they're actually bringing it out tomorrow, because that's the day the CD is coming out, I guess.
Hmm.
So on the Xbox 360, it'll be available. But yeah, like, I think there's like 12 tracks on that album, and then there's like two other songs from other bands. So there's like 14 tracks this week. I think last week was like six or seven tracks. And I mean, it's very rare anymore if they only bring out like three tracks in a week. It's usually like six or eight or something like that. So
When I was at the Magfest in January, they had a bunch of Rock Band setups. No Guitar Hero, all Rock Band. And I remember every one of them had every song up to that point on the hard drive. It was pretty awesome.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. And there's some people out there that they just buy everything, regardless of whether they, you know it or not. So you think about that. It's like, you know, they would have bought, what, 600 some downloadable tracks and
like $1,200.
Yeah. It's like, holy crap.
Is there like a slight price discount on the packs?
Like if it's a 3-song pack, I think they knock like 50 cents or a buck off it. And then, you know, like if it's an album, a lot of times you'll get like maybe a song and a half's worth like free, basically. So at least they do that. So it gives you a little incentive to buy like the whole pack.
Here's a question. Guitar Hero 5, is that compatible with the older downloadable stuff?
I believe it is compatible with like the World Tour stuff. I think they did.
Because they had Death Magnetic. That worked on Guitar Hero 3, and then it also worked on World Tour.
And it worked on the Metallica game as well.
Hmm.
But yeah, so it worked. And then they kind of did the song export thing like they did with Rock Band, but I think only like 30-some of the tracks from World Tour could be exported out of like 70 or 80 tracks, whatever there were. So
you hear about this Courtney Love thing where she's pissed off about Kurt Cobain being
I haven't really heard. I just heard there was some sort of controversy, but I haven't heard like what the controversy is.
Well, yeah, I don't. She probably just wants more coke money, but I guess Bon Jovi was quoted, and he was approached about being in that game as well, but he was like, when I found out that my character would be singing other people's music in their voice, it's like, that's when I was like, nah, I'm not interested. So maybe that's it, because I guess, you know, Kurt Cobain doesn't just sing Nirvana songs in the game.
Well, yeah, I suppose, because you probably play, like, Smells Like Teen Spirit or something, and then you unlock him, and then you can go and buy him in the store, because that's how it usually works, and then, yeah, you probably could make him, like, your character and then play through all these other songs with him. And it's like, you know what? Who gives a fuck? It's like, get over yourself.
Yeah, Johnny Cash is in that game and no one seems to care.
Yeah. I don't know.
And Johnny Cash is cooler than Kurt Cobain. Yeah, I just said that.
Lame.
Sorry, I just never understood
Johnny Cash is cool, but I like way more of Nirvana's stuff than I do Johnny Cash, so that's just me, though.
Well, did you see that guitar thing they had at Best Buy? It was like the Xbox version of Guitar Hero 5.
And the guitar, and then you get like a voucher for free
Van Halen. So it's kind of like a band kit, except for it was much cheaper.
Yeah. So yeah, for $100, basically you're getting two games and a guitar, which...
That's
pretty
worst
cool.
Deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty neat. I think it kind of says something, too, about their expectations for how well Guitar Hero Van Halen would sell on its own. I mean, I'm sure it's also, you know, directed at keeping market share away from Rock Band, but I think a bigger part of it is just that maybe they realized, wait a minute, I don't think a lot of people are going to pay $60 for this Van Halen game.
Yeah, why Van Halen? Why not the Eagles or something? Or hell, even AC/DC's on Rock Band, or Guns N' Roses. I mean, I could think of several groups. Motley Crue. Well, maybe not Motley Crue.
Or like Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
But like Rock Band seems to be pretty hooked up with them, because this will be their second Pearl Jam album that they've released. So
I mean, they had, what was their album, 1984, and that was in, I believe it was 1984. And that had some good songs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, since then,
Yeah, I mean, they've had some good stuff, but I mean, God, is there... Well, I mean, it'll be like any of the other Guitar Hero band-centric games, where they only have like 20 to 25 from the band, and then there's like 20 some songs from other groups that, you know, influenced them. And
right, so if I complain about there not being enough songs in the Beatles, I mean, it could be worse.
And that's the cool thing, too, with the Beatles, is it's just the Beatles. Like, you know, they didn't mix in anything else.
Well, the
like,
game
all
is
the
called
song.
The Beatles.
I know, but I mean, that's what I'm saying is cool about it. You know, like, you get Guitar Hero Metallica, and I mean, yeah, there's a lot of Metallica tracks. There's like 25, but then there's also, you know, 20 tracks from these other groups.
Well, especially with that Aerosmith game. I mean, they shove in all this other music around the Aerosmith, but then they, like, emit almost an entire Aerosmith album, like the really popular Get a Grip album. Isn't even hardly represented at all.
Yeah, there's like one song.
The one that people would know.
But yeah, it's like, well, you could tell that one was like a really half-assed attempt, because I mean, the thing was, they didn't even bring out like DLC for it. Because, you know, you could have seen that and been like, well, okay, you know, they're going to do the money grab and, you know, bring this stuff out as DLC, but then they didn't even do
that.
That's a point.
Isn't that one really cheap if you get it at Best Buy? It's like $10 or something.
I think that was just for like 1 week.
Oh.
But yeah, there was a week where, because it made it on like the monthly top 10 video game sales list from the NPD, and it was because Best Buy had it for like $10 this 1 week. And so it popped up at like number 8 on the monthly sales charts, which was kind of funny. That was how I found out they had that price, because I was like, why the hell is Guitar Hero Aerosmith, you know, like a year later showing up on
the
list?
Aerosmith is the greatest band ever.
But that's kind of my problem, too, with these band-centric games, is it's like Metallica, and then, like, the Beatles are like, I think they'll always be relevant on some level, but otherwise, it's like, Metallica's the only band I would consider relevant of the ones that have gotten band-centric games. It's like, Aerosmith, nobody's given a shit about them in at least a decade. Van Halen, like, 2 decades.
Yeah.
AC/DC, 2 decades, probably. I mean, they haven't done shit in forever that anybody's cared about. You know, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just seems kind of dumb. It's like they go after these big bands that feel like they're big enough that they should get their own game, and that's kind of the precedent that's getting set.
Well, who do you think they should make a band game based off of?
Well, like I said, I could kind of see a Pearl Jam one, even though I'm not a big fan of theirs. Because the trick is, you know, you have to have enough music and be popular enough, and I mean, there aren't that many bands that fit that bill, really,
well, why
to
don't
be
they
honest.
Just, you know, I mean, you're selling these games to kids. Why not have, like, a more modern band? I mean, who cares? Isn't it about making money?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, why not have, like, you know, like, Limp Bizkit?
Linkin Park or somebody, you
know? Yeah, Blink-182 or something.
And, yeah, I don't know. It's
or Foo Fighters. A lot of people like Foo Fighters.
Yeah, Foo Fighters would be a good contemporary band to use. Because, yeah, I know people were really jacked when that what the hell is the album name? I can't even remember. It's the one of theirs I actually own. But that album, it's got like Everlong and all that on it. They brought it out for Rock Band, and people were really psyched about that. It was like a big deal.
Or an Oasis game. People liked Oasis.
Apparently they like just broke up.
Oh no!
I read something about apparently like they were supposed to go and play some show, and before the show, like the two brothers got in some fight, and like Noel or whatever said, you know, screw it, and I'm done with the band.
Fuck this shite.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
What does he care? You know, they've sold 50-some million albums. He's set for life, so.
Again, we should probably move on .org to our final topic about future games, but again, Country Music Hero.
Oh yeah, they can make a Garth Brooks game. That would probably sell well.
Garth,
or
you could just have Garth Brooks and Shania Twain. And
that would
pay
print
off the
money.
National debt. I guess Taylor Swift is in Band Hero.
Yes, yeah. It was kind of funny. They had like this little get-together at my apartment complex the other day, and I wore my Rock Band shirt to it, and there was like this middle-aged couple there, and they're like, Rock Band, why doesn't it say Rock Band Beatles on it? And I'm like, well, I got this, you know, like back when the second game came out, but it was cool because they were like aware of the Beatles game, you know, and
yeah.
I was like, well, have you played it? And they're like, no, and but you know, they asked me about it, and I'm like, oh yeah, you know, we played it last weekend and went all the way through it, and it was really cool. And they were like asking me about songs that were on it and stuff, and they were, you know, both like you know, they were like, well, we're kind of audiophiles, you know, we go to, like, concerts all the time and blah, 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 and they were like, but yeah, we saw that game, and it looked really cool, and we were kind of thinking about, you know, going out and getting, you know, the, like, an Xbox or whatever and getting the game. And I thought that was kind of cool, you know, that there's at least, like, this awareness out there.
Oh, yeah, well, it's been pushed pretty hard in the media. Apparently, the Wii is going to get a price cut. It's like one of those things where there's been a bunch of flyers, so it's probably beyond the point of Photoshop fakery, and it's probably true.
Yeah.
$200.
Okay. So they're knocking $200 off it, so it'll be $50 now? So it'll
well, it's
be
all
like,
about all it's worth.
So it'll be, like, you know, properly priced.
I guess on that system, games never go down in price. There's, like, no greatest hits thing. So, like, a launch title still costs $50.
Really?
Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah, that's pretty lame. But I wonder, at least they finally admitted their sales aren't what they used to be.
Yeah, because I saw them again last month, and they were, you know, only like 40 or 50,000 ahead of the Xbox and PS3.
Yeah.
So it's...
You know, I think... Well, I'm sure it'll probably help the sales, but I mean, anyone who wants one probably already has one.
Yeah, yeah, it's...
I mean, it's not even worth $200. I mean, people didn't care when it wasn't worth $250.
Yeah, I think it's definitely hit its saturation point.
Oh, the PlayStation 3, though, I mean, that's, like, just exploded in sales.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting
maybe the Wii
when the...
will, too. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting when the first month of sales data, you know, after the PS3 price cut comes
they
out, because it was only, like, cut for about a week last month, you know, and that was only kind of... You know, like, the Slim started sneaking out, which people were, like, really after, but it definitely spiked their sales,
because
they were basically even with the 360 for the
month. They
said
in some markets it increased, like, 10,000%. It's pretty insane. Okay, why don't we talk about some of the games we're looking forward to, because we don't have a whole lot of time left.
Oh, we always have time.
No, I don't want this to be a Fistful of Reviews podcast.
Hey, who gives a shit? It's like we haven't done one in a month, so if we go over by 10 minutes, is it the end of the world?
I guess not. Uncharted 2 Among Thieves.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Should be.
Oh, it has built-in Twitter support.
Christ. One of the most useless social networking things I've ever heard of, but whatever.
I guess it has a built-in mode where you can make the characters do things, so you can basically make a kind of a red versus blue thing, but it's got a whole editor, and like put in a green screen automatically, and you can talk into the microphone, and the character lip syncs for you, and it's pretty advanced.
Yeah, that should be pretty cool. Then the multiplayer, which the first game didn't have, will be there, so... And I played the beta of that, and it was pretty decent. I mean, it wasn't like... You know, Call of Duty or Halo multiplayer by any means, but could be interesting.
Well, I'm mostly looking forward to the story more because the first game was pretty cool, and this one's supposed to be even bigger. And and they allegedly they're like, oh, we've used 100% of the PlayStation 3's power, so I don't know what they'll do for the third game.
They'll use 100% of the PS3's power, but the 100% will be different that time.
Well, I guess the. What are they called? The SPIs, the secondary processors or whatever on the PlayStation. Those kind of piss off developers. But according to Naughty Dog, if you actually use them correctly, you can put a lot of the workload onto them and free up the main CPU to do more. Mm-hmm. Well, something else I didn't really realize this, but I guess the core CPU on the PlayStation 3 is almost identical to the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. Except for the Xbox 360 has three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe someone wants to correct that, but...
I guess I hadn't heard about that.
IBM, but... the real winner of the console wars. Yeah, the first cell processors were actually manufactured in Texas, I believe.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
It's like, hey, we go make us some cell processors in Texas, because I want my scalps.
Oh, Lord.
But I'm looking forward to that. I'll definitely pick that one up.
And that one comes out, like, October 15th, I think.
See, we could, that'll be like my birthday present to myself. See, that's what we should do. We should, like, if there's games we all think we should get, we should all buy different ones. That way we can trade and save money.
That's what we've been doing already.
Right.
Because I went and bought Arkham, and then you bought Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And so... And then you were... We already...
PS3.
We already decided that you were going to get Uncharted. because I'm going to get that Fallout thing that day, which doesn't apply to you, of course, but because that comes out the same day.
Doesn't Assassin's Creed 2 come out? I mean, I'm not interested in it, but it comes out, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's probably like November. That's when the last one came out. I don't know if I'll get that or not. I mean, I liked the first game a lot, but there's that Dragon Age game that's coming out at the beginning of November that's from BioWare, which I think I'm going to get, which sounded pretty cool, and they have like this deal where if you actually buy a store-bought version of the game, you get like a code in it, basically, to download the first big DLC pack for it for free, one of those combating piracy or used game sales things that...
I think used game sales is actually a bigger threat to the industry than piracy.
Yeah, but they... It's supposed to be like a $15 pack if you had to actually buy it, so it's not like some, you know, just trivial horse armor type thing or anything.
Well, think
like
about
that.
I mean, if someone buys a used copy of a game, the studio loses a lot more than $15.
Yep.
They lose like $40 or whatever it would be.
So that's pretty cool. And then I guess there's some armor you get, too, that will actually work in Mass Effect 2.
Oh, really?
From that game, yeah.
They must be really trying to push this Dragon Age game.
Yeah, it sounded kind of cool. I never played the Baldur's Gate games, but I always heard good things about them, and I guess this is kind of the spiritual successor or whatever.
Oh, here's a question. This doesn't really have anything to do with games we're looking forward to, but do you think the physical media will go away someday? I mean, do you think it'll be all download someday?
Someday, sadly, yes, I think it will be, but I think that day is still quite a ways away.
I bet the publishers want it, though, because then the used game sales will be destroyed.
It. Yeah. But there's a lot of people like me out there still that like to get physical media. I don't mind throwing away, you know, $5 or $10 on some download, but when it's like a $60 game,
yeah,
I want that physical disc in
Although
my
it
hand.
Is convenient to just, like, push buttons and find your game instead of having to switch discs.
Yeah.
I mean, 9 times out of 10, the game you want to play is already in the disc drive, but the disc drive.
Yeah, I wonder how popular that games on demand stuff's been for the 360, since they have a bunch of kind of the older games like BioShock and like Mass Effect out there.
The prices on them could be a little better.
Yeah.
You can go on Steam, you know, the Valves.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on Steam and get like BioShock for like $10 and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, I think it's like $30 on Xbox Live.
And Call of Duty 2 is $30.
Yeah, I think I saw that and I was
That's
like,
ridiculous.
Are you kidding me? I mean, that was basically a launch title.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. There were a couple of games on there that were, like, 20. Like, I think the LEGO Star Wars original trilogy was 20, which is a fair price for it. But, yeah, like, some of that stuff, it's like, come on, you know, knock it down a little more.
Also, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, I'm going to buy it.
Who cares?
It'll be like when Halo came out. You just watch. The day that comes out, your entire friends list will be playing that game.
I know, but...
I'm going to buy it for PC.
I just don't care. It's like, ugh. So is Infinity Ward actually going to put co-op in this one?
It has two-player co-op.
Lame. At least it's better than none at all. Because they never had it before, and it's like, you know, this is a game that screams to have co-op in it. And at least with World at War, Treyarch put it in, and they made it like 4-player, like Halo 3.
Yeah, it seems like so.
The 4-player is like more fun because, you know, you can just have, well, it's more people.
Yeah.
You know, and be more entertaining, you know, as we've spoken many times of our Halo 3 campaigns.
And betrayment!
And the shenanigans. I am truth. I remember how we just died every time at that part, even though
we
knew it was
it.
Coming, but it was so great.
I am God's instrument.
And then the I'm a thief, but I keep what I steal.
Yeah, what the hell did that mean?
Nothing. Nothing at all. But Modern Warfare 2, I mean, it'll obviously be the biggest game to come out this fall. I don't think anybody in their right mind would dispute that.
Just like Twilight will be the biggest hit movie.
Of the fall, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like there's something else that comes out, but I'm not thinking of it, whatever it is.
Well, Jack Black's game comes out, Brutal Legend. I mean, I'm not going to pick it up, but...
Yeah, I'm not either. It's supposed to be pretty good from stuff I've read.
I watched
like
the
previews.
Video of it, like the first 10 minutes, and it's actually pretty funny. Well, it's Tim Schafer who worked on Monkey Island.
Ah. Yeah, so who knows. But yeah, the big other big stuff is like... You know, later on, like Mass Effect 2, I think it's supposed to be in January. I think Lost Planet 2 is supposed to be like January or February. BioShock 2 just got a release date of February, so...
I wouldn't be surprised if some of those games that got pushed back to quarter one get pushed back again because quarter one is so crowded.
Yeah.
I don't see why more games don't release during the year because, you know, kids are off of school and stuff, and... Yes, kids play M-rated games.
Yeah, I never got that, why, like, the summer is usually just devoid, you know, of any new releases. It's
well,
like
Batman came out.
That was August. I don't really count that as summer.
What, are you, a movie executive?
Well, no, but you know what I'm saying. I'm talking about, like, the months of the year when kids aren't in school.
Like, Grand Theft Auto, wouldn't that come out, like, the end of April? That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I hate
but
to
I'm
break ta- it
But I'm talking about, like, May, June, July, like, barely anything comes out in those months that's significant. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, like, August. You know, August is kind of turned into
the
I guess, May for the film season, you know?
Yeah, that's when BioShock came out.
Because BioShock was August, and, like, Arkham was August.
The Madden game always comes out in August.
Yeah, but otherwise, you know, there's just nothing, and it's like, you know, when I was a kid, it's like, yeah, I went out and, you know, played basketball and football and baseball and shit, but I played a lot of video games during the summer, too, because I didn't have anything else to do, you know? And, you know, why not bring some games out during the summertime? But instead, no, let's just dump them all, like, in this, you know, three-month window at the end of the year and, you know, let the bodies fall where they may.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Because even with this stuff getting pushed, I was like, well, Christ, it's like I got Arkham, and then I would have bought Beatles if you wouldn't have, and then I got Marvel, and then I would get Uncharted 2, but you're going to get that, so I don't need to deal with that. But then that freaking Fallout 3 thing comes out that I'm going to pick up.
You'd better.
And then Dragon Age comes out. So, I mean, it's like even with stuff like BioShock and Mass Effect and Lost Planet not being there, there's still like a ton of shit coming out.
Mm-hmm. It's like 2007 all over again.
Yeah.
Although there's really only one game we played back then.
Yeah.
Rock Band.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Rock Band and Halo.
That was some sort of cataclysm of... Singularity. Well, I guess Call of Duty had come out at the time, too. And the Orange Box. Man, a lot of good games came out that fall.
And Halo was, like, in, what, September of that year?
Yeah. Betrayment!
Yeah.
That game was so much more fun with co-op.
Yeah. Yeah, the single player, like, playing the campaign was just not really cool at all. But, yeah, you throw people into it, and... You'll notice the one game we didn't mention is ODST...
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't really care. Because I read that the campaign was single player, and that basically ruled it out for me.
Yeah, but I'm sure everyone will buy it. I'm not going to get it.
Yeah, well, it just seems like a game that should probably be, like, $40, because it's like... Like, I mean, like, the people that are really into Halo have already bought, like, half the content that the game has, because the second disc that comes with ODST is, like, all of the maps from Halo 3 plus, like, three new ones that are ODST-specific. But so basically those people, you know, they already spent, like, 20 or 25 bucks on maps, and now they're just buying them again.
And now there's another one coming out called Reach. It's another Halo game coming out, which I think is the last one Bungie's doing.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the... whole deal is with that either.
Maybe that's the one where you find out what happened to Master Chief at the end. You
that
know, he's
be.
Like, wake me when you need me. I'm not dead.
I am the vanguard of your destruction.
Oh, but just wait. I'm sure everyone on... Well, I'm sure quite a few... Because I judge a game's popularity by how many people on my friends list are playing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that'll...
It'll probably be at least
show
half.
Up on half, yeah.
Call of Duty, though, I mean... Because I remember, like, yeah, Halo... Halo 3, Grand Theft Auto 4, there's certain games like pretty much everyone is playing it when you turn on your friends list.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. That was one thing I was kind of surprised with Beatles on is, I didn't expect it to be, you know, like this overwhelming, you know, sales machine or anything, but there was like, what was it, like the first couple nights it was out, like you were online playing it, and then like one other person on my friends list was playing it, and that was it. And I've got a lot of people that play like rhythm games on my friends list, so yeah. I just, you know, expected that there'd probably be like five or six people playing it, but not the case.
Yeah, I've seen a few people on my friends list playing it, but not as many as he playing Arkham Asylum or...
Yeah, that one was pretty popular.
Arkham Asylum.
I have quite a few people that still play like World at War. That's probably like the most popular one on my friends list.
I still play World at War.
Yeah.
It's fun!
I know, it kicks ass.
I got a 32 kill streak last week. I don't know how, but I did.
Yeah,
that
was pretty impressive.
It was a night fire. Then a dog
got me. Which one's
that? That's the one where it's like at night and the
buildings are... I can't believe it.
It's one like... It's
oh,
a
is
bunch
it a
of,
new
like,
map?
Yeah, I think it was in the first map pack. And the buildings are kind of bluish and made of brick and it's at night and there's some fires going.
Okay, that's why I'm not familiar with it because I didn't get any of the map packs. Well, speaking of Oblivion, I finally beat the Shivering Isles as well, which had been sitting on my hard drive for like a year.
How long did it take?
Probably about 10 hours. But I just played like the main quest, but there's like tons of other shit you can do if you want.
Well, here's a question. I was playing through that too. I think I found like a route in some sort of cave. How
yes.
far was I?
You're probably a little over halfway.
Oh, really?
Because the root stuff, you need that. Is that like when you're trying to make the staff?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of like killer ants or something. They're like these. They're really tough.
Yeah,
like these ants
yeah.
or bugs or something with sacks of juice.
Because did you go through the thing where you have that like addiction? Like you go through it and there's some like. Plant
yeah.
you eat, and so you have to keep... It's like Feldew,
yes.
I think it was called.
And then the quest is you... Well, basically you become addicted to Feldew.
Because you're trying to find something in that
cave.
Because
you're going there?
Yeah, because you have to take the Feldew to get through the door.
And then you become addicted.
And then you have to keep finding more Feldew, because it hurts your skills and stuff.
I think that's about where I was.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's probably halfway or a little more. So...
Maybe I should lend me that disc again. Maybe I can polish that sucker off.
Hey, might as well get all the achievements.
Then you can play Fallout, the greatest game ever made.
I don't know. We'll see.
I think once you get into it, you'll like it.
I hope so.
I don't see how you couldn't. It's Oblivion with guns. I mean, it's the same goddamn game, except for it's better.
I think like the whole post-apocalyptic setting just kind of puts me off a little bit because everything's just like gray and ashy looking and.
Beside the color, it's interesting. It actually has a lot. I mean, in Oblivion. I mean, let's face it. Pretty much every quest involves you going into a cave to
yeah,
find something. And
I know.
Fallout 3 has a lot more variety. You know, instead of going to caves, you go into sewers.
Ooh, wow! What a change.
Well,
the,
it is
the modern cave system. The sewer.
But
take center stage.
It does have more variety. I mean, like Oblivion, you went to the Oblivion gates, and they're all pretty much the same.
Yeah.
And the main quest is like maybe 25 hours, but the side stuff, my God, it's huge.
It's basically like Oblivion in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, yeah, that's the thing that's so funny with Oblivion is, like, even once I got the Shivering Isles thing, like when I was going to the Shivering Isles, I was like running along this road or something, and it's like, oh, you've discovered blah, 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 and it's like, Jesus Christ, I've put like 80-some hours into this game,
yep.
and I'm still finding crap, you know?
And then you can go in and like maybe someone has a quest or something.
Yeah. I mean, there were like tons of things like on my, you know, quest list that I could do, you know, things that I had run across throughout the game, but I just never bothered and... It was funny, like, right when I was getting to the end of the Shivering Isles, I had the thing pop up on the screen saying that, like, my dragon armor was ready from beating the main quest.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I beat the main quest, I just quit playing the game, and you had to, like, wait two weeks, I
yeah.
think, and So it was funny, because it was, I think I was on, like, the last quest for the Shivering Isles, and then that popped up, and I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting timing.
I think Fallout kind of, I think it does a better job of keeping you on task. Like, in Oblivion, yeah, there's all sorts of, like, quests you have laying around that you never really get to, but I think Fallout, at least for me, did a better job of, like, it gives you a task, but it's not really that, it's not like, you know, go collect 100 wildflowers or some bullshit like in Oblivion. It's fairly simple. So basically, if you get a task in Fallout, chances are you'll complete it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one difference. I think even before I tried the Shivering Isles, I think I had about 80 hours on my Oblivion code. And Fallout, when I started with the downloadable content, I had about 55. Yeah. But I don't think I'd really explored the whole game either. But, I mean, now I have, I think, almost 100 hours on Fallout. But
well, that was one thing, too. With
it's still humongous.
Well, that was one thing, too, with Oblivion, was, like, with the main quest. Like, I remember when I first started playing that game, like, you know, I went down to the first Oblivion gate, and I, like, got my ass kicked. And so I just kind of went and ran around and did other quests, and I don't think I came back to actually the main quest line for, you know, like, 10, 15 hours or something. You know, it was very easy, and, I mean, it's one of the cool things about the game, I think, but then, you know, maybe it's kind of a, I don't know, detriment, too, but it's kind of neat, because you can just be like, well, screw it, I'm just going to play the game how I want, and you don't even have to, like, do the main quest if you don't want to, really. Yeah. You can just go off and do all this other, you know, little piddly side quest stuff for people, and it's kind of neat, you know, to give you that much freedom in a game, I guess. Because, you know, you could, somebody probably could just play that game and just do side quests and never even do the main quest and be, like, perfectly fulfilled by that game.
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, in both those games, I mean, the main quest is a minority of the time, really. Yeah. Unless you're really, really bad.
Yeah.
But, I just think it's a much richer experience. I mean, there's computer terminals, you can hack them.
Yeah.
There's more history stuff, there's audio logs, there's entire sections, like, of the game you don't even need to go into. Like, in the main quest, you don't even have to go into downtown DC at all. Like, I beat the game without even doing that. But then I'm like, oh my god, look at all this shit. I mean, like the Washington Mall, and you can go all over it. And I've never even really explored all the sewer systems. I guess I could if I ever got really bored. But it's, well, in a way, it's almost better that it's a post-apocalyptic, because there's not many trees left, so you can actually see things to discover them easily. I heard Mike complain about that, too. He's like, I don't want to play that game. It's all dirt and brown. It's like, it's, I think that's, I mean, I can see the point, but I think that's a really shallow reason to not want to play a game.
Well, it's not why I don't want to play it, but it's like, it's kind of a detriment, I think.
Well, it took me, because if I like a game, I can usually beat it in about a week.
Yeah.
And I think that one I beat it in about a week, just the main quest. And it didn't really even suck me in, but like when I started doing like the side stuff, I really got sucked in. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure
I'll like it once I start playing it. I mean, I don't really have any, I mean, it's not like, like I played through the vault at the beginning. I mean, it's not like I didn't like the game or anything. It's just I wasn't like hooked by it at the time. It's kind of like Mass Effect, because Mass Effect, I got it, I played it a little bit, and then I put it down, and then I came back to it like 3 months later, played it a little bit, set it down, 3 months later, and then it was like a year passed, and then like a couple months ago, I was like, you know what, I'm going to finally beat Mass Effect, started playing it, and for whatever reason, at that particular time, it was the right thing, and I got totally hooked, and I wound up like beating it, and then beating it twice more, because to get like all the achievements and stuff, you have to like basically, at a bare minimum, you have to beat the game 3 times, and because of how I played through it the first time, I actually have to beat it, like, 4 times to get everything, so. But, yeah, so.
Yeah, Fallout's like that, too. Like, depending on your karma level, like, at level 7, 15, 20, and 30, you have good, neutral, or bad karma. I mean, you can kind of trick it. Like, what I did was, I was at level 29, so I'm like, well, I'm probably going to download Mothership Zeta. My character's like a good character, so I'm like, I will go around killing everyone. I just went through the entire game and killed everyone in the entire game, as well as many people as I could.
Yeah.
So I got you get experience points when you murder people. So my karma became bad, and I got to level 30, so I got the achievement for that.
Okay.
And then I loaded up an old save when I got the Mothership Zeta thing, and then I just played through that normally, so then I got my level 30 achievement for being a good character. But then there's still a neutral character achievement. So that would be harder to do, because either you're like a mass murderer or you're not.
Yeah, it's hard to take the middle road in games. It's very easy to just be evil or good.
Well, there's one thing you can do in the Megaton Town. There's a church that worships an undetonated atomic bomb. If you donate to the head of the church, you get good karma.
Okay.
So if you were a bad character, you could donate until your character became neutral, and then you could just continue playing the game and then get your achievements.
Okay.
But, yeah, some of the stuff, like the... oh, gosh. Yeah, I did start another character where I was evil to get some more achievements, but... Yeah, I think you'd have to play through that game probably. Well, it's not just play through the main quest, but like get to level 30, so...
Yeah.
It could take a long time to get all the achievements.
Well, that's like with Shivering Isles. There's like two achievements for that pack, and you can only get one or the other, you know, depending on how you just played through it. So like when you get to that choice moment, like I knew that choice was there, so I did a game save... I played through this one quest, you know, to get the achievement, and then I went back to my save and then played through the quest the way I really wanted to play through it so I'd get them all.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you got to that point, but there's a point basically where you have to decide between those two dukes which one you want to kill or overthrow.
I don't know if I got there yet.
Okay, but that's where that happens, is because you get an achievement for, you know, taking this one out or taking this one out, and obviously you can't do them both, so yeah, a lot of games seem to like to do that sort of stuff, but of course with carefully choosing when you save, you can save yourself a lot of time, so.
But yeah, Fallout 3 is awesome. Like, there's these slavers in the future, because all post-apocalyptic societies have slavers.
Well, of course.
And I did the quest where I can't remember exactly what happened. I had to, like, get caught by them or rescue a kid from them or something. I don't know. But then later on, my character was badass. I'm like, I'm going to go kill the slavers. So
yes.
They have like this shopping mall that they live in. So I just went into the mall, just murdered all of them. And you get positive karma for that since they're bad characters.
Nice.
That was fun.
Yeah, see, stuff like that would be kind of interesting. So.
Oh, it is. It's an awesome game. There's like a cave system filled with like kids. So it's kind of like a Lord of the Flies cave and...
Or Temple of Doom.
Kind of, except for they're like, free.
They're not, like ripping hearts out of chests of people or anything.
And there's, like, a group of escaped slaves that have the head of Abraham Lincoln from the Abraham Lincoln Memorial.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have to retake the Lincoln Memorial from the slavers so they can take it and put the head back on. And then there's ghouls, and they have, like, a whole society in the Museum of Natural History. And it's just so cool. Like, it's just an amazing game. Actually, I'm not being facetious. I actually think it is the best game ever made.
Yeah.
But it's just so much shit you can do. There's like an aircraft carrier that has a city on it, and half of it's like torn off. And that's even without the expansion stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, there's like a city where there's like trees, and there's just tons of shit in it. Tons of shit.
And it's set in America, which is cool, too.
Yes. And it has Malcolm McDowell as John Henry Eden, who's actually a robot. Spoiler warning.
Oh, no.
Because you meet him, and he's like, I'm President Eden, but yes, I am a computer.
I suppose that's not altogether surprising.
Then there's, like, radio stations, so there's one, I can't remember what his is called. It's called, like, it's called Enclave Radio, and he just goes in there, like, spouting, like, propaganda. He's like, the Enclave will rebuild this once great nation, and so that's what another thing I like about it is... It kind of reminded me of Grand Theft Auto, because it has, like, you can listen to the radio and whatnot, but then there's another one that's like a Voice of the People Freedom Radio or something.
Yeah.
But it's just really funny. And one of the things that's so great is on the, on the good radio station, they make these stage plays. They make, like, kind of like what we do on our podcast. What is it? It's Herbert Daring Dashwood and his ghoul manservant. And they go on quests. And so basically there's, like, these radio plays on the radio in the game.
Yeah.
And by making it, like, this futuristic retro 50s thing, I mean, it can be very tongue-in-cheek. And
yeah.
It's just an awesome game.
Yeah, and isn't it, like, certain radio stations are only available, like, in certain areas?
Yeah,
because of, like, the broadcast
distance.
Range and stuff?
Although there is, again, there's a quest where you can get... with three dogs. The guy has the
what's like some radio booster station or something. Or?
Yeah, he had to like get him a satellite dish. He had to like go to an abandoned military thing. Of course, fight a bunch of mutants, get a satellite dish, bring it back, and hook it up, and then you can hear his radio station all over.
That's cool.
And then there's like an old woman. What does she want? She has a radio station, and she plays a violin. But then she wants like this rare violin, so you had to go into a vault. That was like a really nasty vault. And then there's a violin in there, which is weird because I actually had been in that vault and found the violin. I'm like, oh, this looks valuable, so I took it. Then later on, I found out she needed it, so I'm like, oh, well, I've already got it.
It's like, oh, well, since you asked.
That's a great. Well, you know, vacuum-powered robots. I mean, of course I love it.
Well, of course.
So, yeah. All right, so those are the games we're looking forward to. I don't know if there's anything you want for closing statements.
Nah, I think we covered the bases pretty well, so.
All right.
And then you're going to have to get Big Gay Al or what, Big Gay Tony or whatever
the hell
it is. The
Ballad of Gay Tony.
Yeah, there it is.
Big Gay Al was on South Park.
Oh, yeah. I knew that came from somewhere.
It did. We'll see you next time.
Hasta luego.